The example in the Bible is the nation of Israel. They were in bondage in Egypt for 400 years. And God said, I'm going to take you out. He said, I'm going to take you out of Egypt. I'm going to take you out of that environment. You're in slavery. You're slave to the world is really what they were. He said, I'm going to take you out of that place, and I'm going to put you in the desert, and I'm going to train you. And then I have a place I want you to go. It's called the Promised Land. So he took them out of that bondage in Egypt. He did it in one day.
Staying in town for Thanksgiving, or are you going somewhere?
In one day, he took them out. Very interesting. And then he put them in the wilderness, and the first group that went into the wilderness failed. But the second group went into the Promised Land. But they had to completely, in a sense, be retrained and relearned.
Trying to remember. Somebody's got to do it. That's
getting
it.
A voice from heaven here.
You're up for the game.
And relearned, retrained, and then they went into the Promised Land. Now, that is not true. That's not true with you and I particularly, but God's going to retrain us.
Trying to start losing.
And he's not going to put us into the Promised Land. He's going to put us into this land of that he has prepared for us in this life. It is a spiritual land. So we're in the physical world, but we're in the spiritual land of God if we're a Christian. Become a Christian is just the beginning. Some people think that's the end. They think, okay, I've arrived, I've come to Christ, I'm going to go to heaven, that's all there is to it. I'll just live out my life, and when I die, I'll go to be with Jesus, and that's absolutely wrong. You might go to be with Jesus, but the point is, when you come to Christ and you come to salvation, that is the time then that God begins the training and the learning and the reprogramming, if I can put it that way, the reprogramming of your life. I've been a Christian now ever since I was 33 years old, and I'm just now, to be honest with you, coming into the place where I have a pretty good understanding of the Christian life. It's taken me all this time. I'm not any different than you are. It doesn't make any difference if you're a preacher or who you are. You have to learn the ways of God. And what I'll tell you, I believe what the ultimate is in this life. I believe it's when you come to the point that Christ is everything and the rest of it doesn't mean a whole lot. I say the rest of it doesn't mean a whole lot. You aren't going to take it with you anyway. You're going to go in and just stand before God, and you're not going to take one thing with you other than what you've learned of Christ. And so I think that's where God wants to bring us in this life, where he is everything. And he had a scripture for that, and I mentioned it last time, and I probably mention it again because this is so important. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The things are not the important thing, but the things are things that we can use and need in this life, but that's the issue. Now, when Adam and Eve failed the first time, let me tell you something, it was harder the second time. Are you listening? When you fail the first time, it's harder the second time. Because they in the Garden of Eden, they didn't have to provide their food, they didn't have to go to work in the sense to earn a living. They didn't have to do any of that stuff. Their food was provided. It was perfect environment. The temperature was perfect. They didn't have to have a lot of anything. God just says, take care of this world. I want you to go in and take charge of this world. Now, some people think that God is in charge of every little thing you do, but he's not. He said for you to go in and take the thing. He told Adam and Eve to go in and take it. Yeah, God's plan was they would take the Christian life. They would take, in a sense, the Promised Land. The Promised Land's not heaven. The Promised Land is when you begin to really be on this earth like Jesus Christ was when he came. That's really what it is. When you become to the place where you can begin to do on this earth what Jesus Christ did when he started his ministry, then you've arrived in the promised land. That's what it is. And if you're not there yet, God wants to bring you to that place. When Adam and Eve were removed from the garden, he put them out into the world, then they had to start digging and planting seeds and going through the seasons and harvesting and doing all this physical work and all that stuff. They didn't have to do it in the Garden of Eden, but they failed there, so God's going to start them over. And I think every time you start over, it's a little bit harder. I really do, but it's supposed to be that way because whatever it takes to bring us to a place where we'll want to go into the promised land, and that is the spiritual land that Christ has for you and I. Now, Adam and Eve finally accomplished. I didn't say they wouldn't have gone to heaven when they got out, because when they got out there, God showed them it was through animal sacrifices and later the sacrifice of Jesus, and they learned what salvation was, and they began to learn just like you and I do, and that's what they had to do. So what I've been teaching on and what I'm continuing to teach on is how to possess the promised land that God has for you. I'm talking about on this earth, in this life. Now, as I said last time, you just don't sit back and say, okay, God, give it to me. That isn't that kind of a deal. He says, go in and take it. I'll prepare you, I'll empower you, but you have to go in and take it, or it's not going to happen. And there's too many people, too many Christians to say they're Christians, and I presume they are, that think that God's just going to drop it in their lap and everything's going to be fine. They don't have to do much of anything. And they don't. And he doesn't. And they never arrive there. And the question for them will be when they stand before Jesus, why didn't you go into the land that I gave you? Why didn't you keep on learning? Why didn't you keep on taking responsibility in the kingdom of God that God has given to us? And we find out when we look in the scriptures that God does his part and we're supposed to do our part. It's a teamwork thing with you and God. The Bible says it's like being yoked together, two oxen in a yoke, and they got to pull together if they're going to bring that load somewhere. And that's the way it is between you and God. We pull together and we do what God's called us to do. Now, God told Israel, I've given you life, I've given you freedom, now go into that land and take it. And I'm going to tell you, the battle started when they got in the land. Then they really had to take it. They had to take it day by day, city by city, county by county, if you want to put it that way. And they were to take the whole thing. And actually they failed, and they're not really going to do it until Jesus comes again. And he's going to put them in that land. They're going to take the whole thing. They only took one-tenth of what God gave them. They were supposed to take the whole thing. Now, I think that's what Jesus said. Some are going to be 30-fold and some 60 and some 100. There's going to be some people that take 30% of what God gave them. Some are going to take 60% of what God's given them. And very few are going to take 100% of what God's given them. In fact, the only one that took 100 was Christ himself. And so that's what this is all about. We are training for the kingdom of God. God's going to come in his kingdom. He's going to reign for 1,000 years on this earth. That's what the Bible says. He's preparing us now for that time. So we have to get ready. Grace has got a nephew that's going to a Christian school and he's learning ministry. He's learning it now, but there's going to be a time when that learning is going to be over and he's going to have to go out and do what he's learned. And that's what we are to do. It's very, very much like marriage. You get married, and somebody says, well, I guess this is what marriage is all about. You've been married about 3 days. It's actually the honeymoon. Pretty soon that's over. And then you find out what marriage is all about. It's something you work on every single day. I say it's something you work on every single day. If it's going to be successful, if it's going to be right, you're going to work on it every single day. You're just not going to say, oh, I got married back there 10 years ago, and that was it, and I'll just kind of float through it now and find out what happens. It doesn't work. God has a way with every single thing in your life. The enemy is going to try to find where the fence is broken so he can come in. So it's like repairing fences all the time. And that's what we do. But the issue is you have to learn. If you're sick, you have to learn how to pray and have to defeat that enemy of sickness. If it's finances, you have to learn how to pray and how to work in the area of your finances. And God will give you information. God will give you instruction. But you're going to have to do it. He's not going to do it for you. And so that's what church is all about, is to learn how to do these things out in life. You go from a couple of hours here, whatever it is, and you go out into life and you're out there for hours and hours and days, and then you come back and you get some more instruction. God said to Israel, I've given you the promised land. That was his part. He said, I've trained you to go in. That was his part. He said, I'm going to give you the strength to go into that land. That was his part. And then he says, you have to go in and take it. You have to use the strength. You have to use the instruction. You have to use what this word of God says. And when we go in to take the land, and when the land is supposed to be taken when we go to be with Jesus. I hope you're listening. Because every day we have some land to take. And that's why you have to pray every single day about every single thing you do, and you don't do anything without praying to the Lord. I'm talking about every Christian usually prays when they eat. But they don't pray about their work. They don't pray about when they get in their car and they drive for a half an hour. Or they don't pray when they go shopping. They don't pray when they go visit somebody. They don't pray when they have coffee with their friends. And they don't pray when they watch TV at night. And they don't pray about what they're going to watch. And they don't. And we're not going to take the land unless we pray about every single thing in life. I'm already praying about tomorrow. I'm already praying. I'm praying about getting up and being alert to Jesus. I'm praying about, I have a routine, usually on Mondays that I do, and it's a very busy day, but I've already started praying about every stop I'm going to make, every person that I'm going to see. I have to go to the bank. I have to do these other things. I pray about going to the bank. I pray about maybe there's a divine appointment there. I know some of these people. I go there all the time. And there may be somebody there that needs prayer. There may be somebody that just needs somebody to smile and say hello. But I've got work to do tomorrow for Jesus, you see. And that's, you do too. And it's the same thing. And when we learn that it's Jesus Christ, and then all these other things will be added. That's what this life is all about. God's not going to make you come to him. He's not going to override your will. You have the right to do whatever you want to do because he gave you that right. Now, so God has his part. We have our part. Are we doing our part? You see, haven't even got to the part where we're supposed to read the word of God on a daily basis, and that kind of thing. That's just basic stuff we do. That's part of the training for each day. I don't feel right if I haven't been in the word of God on a particular day. I don't feel right about that day. Now, I may not get it in the morning. I try to get it in the morning, but I don't always. But I'll catch it when I can, and I will get it in there because I am in training. I am in training. Are you listening? So, and I have my part, and God, I don't have to worry about God doing his part. He's going to do that, but I have to do my part, so I have to be in touch with him. Now, what are you going to do if you have a sickness? What are you going to do? Well, what did Jesus say? By my stripes you are healed. That's what he says. Now, he's done his part. He's already taken the stripes. He was already beaten. He was already put on the cross of Calvary. That's done. He's not going to do it again. He's done his part. But I have to do my part, and my part is speaking that life of Jesus into my life. So what I have to do, I have to start saying, by the stripes of Jesus Christ I'm healed. And I might be flat in bed and can't move, but by the stripes of Jesus Christ I am healed, because he said so. So I'm not looking forward to being more sick. I'm looking forward to being healed. Are you listening to me? Now, this is the way that we ought. I'm going to just go through some basic things here to tell you how we take the land of our life on a daily basis. Now, I messed my knee up about 2 weeks ago, and I was having a hard time. I mean, it was pain, all kinds of things. And I just said, by the stripes of Christ, I'm healed. I've been saying it every day. It's been getting better every day. And it'll be totally healed here shortly, because Jesus, I spoke the word of God to my knee. You see. And I'm not, and sometimes I go to doctors for things. I didn't in this case, because I didn't feel that it was necessary. And so I'm just speaking the word of God in this thing. And our part is, thank you, God, for healing me. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for healing me. Thank you, God, for healing me. I am speaking the word of God. I am praising his name. I'm giving him all the glory. I'm talking about how to take the promised land of your life. Now, as I said last time, but I'll say it again, and you know, you have to look, am I breaking any health laws that caused this problem? You know, if I got junk lying all over the floor that I can trip over and hurt my knee again. I mean, there's some things you do, practical things that you take care of. And if your diet's not right and you're sick all the time, change your diet. You know, I mean, God give us a brain here. And we are to do these things. But at the same time, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. You see. And if I need to consult a doctor, I will. And I'm going to pray before I go to the doctor that God gives him wisdom beyond anything he ever knows. I don't trust doctors to know everything. I pray that I don't know everything. Don't trust me to know everything. You pray that God gives me the word that you need today. That's what you do. You pray before you ever come. Doesn't make any difference what I'm prepared. God can give me a word for you right in the middle of the preaching, you see. And so we're not going to trust that anybody they know everything. We're going to trust that God can get them to know everything. Are you listening to me? That they need to know. And you may need to change something in your life. You may need to change your lifestyle. You need to may need to change the way you're doing things, and something concerning your health. And you pray, and you speak the healing, and you believe God. A lot of times somebody comes up here, I said, do you believe God can heal you? If you don't believe God can heal you, we may be wasting our time. Are you listening? You need to believe God can heal, because he says he will. He says, I won't put any... He says, if you follow me, I won't put any of the diseases on you that some of this world has. Are you listening? You listen to the world, you'd be scared all the time something was going to jump on you. You know, they went nuts about this swine flu, and now they've decided after all this stuff, and oh, it's going to be millions are going to die, and we're not going to have enough vaccine, and we better get, oh, this is awful. Now they find out it's just like any other kind of flu, just another strain. It is the flu, but it's not this big pandemic thing that they've been saying it is. They said, oh, 200 people died in Mexico. And then they found out only 10 of them died from the swine flu. I mean, you know, you just can't believe all this stuff you hear. We're going to have to, the devil will put fear on you any way he can. And about your health or anything else, you see. So if you get sick, one of the things you certainly don't want to say, oh, I think I'm going to die. That you don't say. Yeah, if it's your time or not your time, that's God's business. But I'll tell you right this, I'm healed in Jesus' name till I see otherwise, till I see the heavenly gates right in front of me. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, or anything else. And if you're doing the basic things of God and seeking Him, that's going to help you in this area of sickness. Now I want to talk a little bit about marriage. And there's just some things that in the Word of God, Jesus said, we're to love Him with all our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbors, ourselves, and guess who the closest neighbor is? The one you're married to. Isn't that interesting? Well, some people treat their neighbors better than they do their wife or husband. They got this thing mixed up. That's not what God says. And so you want to treat the other person as more important than you. Guess what's going to happen? That's going to be a good marriage. It's very simple. Just treat the other person better than yourself. Care more about them than you care for yourself. I don't mean don't take care of yourself, but the issue is that's the way you do it. And if you're not married, then your closest neighbor or your friends or relatives or whoever they are, you treat them better than yourself. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to take the promised land, hallelujah, in your marriage. There's a way of doing things. Yes, you do the basics, but we're talking about that. God's not going to override your will or anybody else's will. But you may have to change your lifestyle. You may have to change your attitude. You may have to change something you learned while you were growing up before you got saved. Because sometimes you didn't learn everything right. Sometimes you didn't have the best example. Sometimes growing up, you learned the wrong things. And so you have to get rid of those things and start being, if you want to put this way, reprogram your mind, because that's what the Bible says. It says renew your mind in the Word of God. That's what it means. Reprogram your mind. Change the way you think. You know, some people say, you know that person, I know that person, they're 80 years old and they're the same as they were when they were 10. They're just never changed. They're just stayed the same, you know. And that'll not get us anywhere. There's a point if you've been single for 30 years and you get married, guess what? You're going to have to change a few things if you're going to have a successful marriage. I mean, you're going to have to change the way you do things. You're thinking about your mate now as well as yourself. And you're going to have to change some things. When you come to Jesus Christ, you're going to have to change some things. There's two of you now instead of one. And He's more important. And so you're going to have to change some things. And so you come to the point in your life, hopefully, where Jesus is everything. Guess what? Everything else is going to fall into place. That's what He said. When Christ is number one, the only way Christ is number one is to pray about everything. Pray about everything. Everything. Every person you're going to meet, every person you're going to come in contact with, every person you have anything to do with, pray before that happens. And Christ will begin to move and to take things and so forth. What if you need a job? What are you going to do? I'll tell you, if you need a job, Christ needs to be everything in your life. Because he can bring things to pass you could not imagine. He could get you a whole lot better job than you ever thought about in the first place. So what do? When you get a job, ask other people to pray. You pray to Christ and ask him for a job. And then you're in the Word of God. You're in church. You're faithful to God. And then you ask him. He says, you know, if he's number one, all you have to do is ask. That he said that, I didn't. You see. And so you're going to get, you may need to go back to school. You may need to get some other skills that you don't have. You need to get some training maybe. You may have to start at a low wage and get on the job training and learn a job, whatever it is. But you pray about it. God will help you. Another thing you do, you might have to do is clean up, shape up, and change habits that maybe aren't pleasing to other people. Can you imagine what some people want the general society to put up with? It's amazing. I always would like to tell somebody that, particularly, you know, they come to me and they said, I just can't find a job, anything. And they look like somebody just drug them through a knot hole. Yeah, she said they have to keep pulling their pants up, hold their pants up with one hand, and do whatever. You got the picture. Now, obviously, some changes need to be made. Sometimes I'd like to ask the person, would you hire yourself? And a lot of times they wouldn't. You see, so there's some changes that need to be made. You know, you can't be totally self-centered and serve Christ. If you're going to tell somebody about Jesus, well, at least look like you're alive. You know, you can put a clean shirt on and do something with your hair and do the best with what you have. But a lot of people don't do anything with what they have, and they think everybody should just love them the way they are. Well, that's great if you're 2 years old. Aren't you glad you came today? You see, there's some things we have to do. God has his part, but we have to do our part. You know. And I was in a store the other day, and I was with Grace, and we were walking through this store, and they had a pair of women's jeans, and they had holes cut all the way down from about the pocket all the way down to about a foot from the ground there, and the inside, the jeans were black, and inside the holes was some kind of red material, and these things were $65. I thought they had gotten the thing from the Halloween costume section. You understand what I'm saying? And can you imagine somebody knocking on your door and wanting to tell you about Jesus, and they look like they're out for Halloween? I mean, come on. We do the best with what we have. We look the best we can. It's the same way. It's the same way in marriage. You want to look the best you can, as much as possible. Really. I've told this story before, but a long time ago, had this young lady came and she said, "I'm just not getting along very, very good with my husband." And I said, "Is that right?" And she went on about a whole bunch of stuff, and I kind of looked at her, and she had an old beat up sweatshirt on that made her look like she weighed about 30 pounds more than she really did, and some saggy old pants and beat up tennis shoes on. And they weren't destitute financially, you understand what I'm saying? And that's what she wore every single day of the week. And she said, "Well, my husband just doesn't pay attention to me anymore." We have to do our part. You got it? We have to do the best we can. I don't want to look like that. If I'm out cutting the grass, it's one thing. But if I'm sitting with my wife watching television, I'm not going to be dressed like that. I'm sorry. Are you listening? I'm going to look the best I can, under the situation. Now, come on. Everybody's beautiful when they clean up. Well, we do the same thing with God. You know, we just kind of mess around. We're sloppy in the things of God. And we look sloppy before the Lord. And we say, "I just can't understand why I'm in the mess I'm in. I don't understand why I'm in trouble I'm in," and all that kind of thing. And so if you need a job, clean up, look halfway decent, look like you're able to do the job. You understand what I'm saying? Not that, don't look like, "Oh, this is going to take about a year to get this person ready to go." You know, and what they're doing is cooking hamburgers in McDonald's, which isn't a bad place to start. I always say, if you want a job, well, get a job, get the best job you can at the time. You see, start with whatever's available. Don't let pride get in the way. And then a big one, if you want a job, you have to learn how to get under the authority of the person that's put over you. Or you're in big trouble. You're not going to last long. Some people just go from job to job to job, and I find out, well, they badmouth every boss they have over them in every job they're in, and that's why they can't keep a job. There's no person perfect, but I'll tell you, that gives you a lot of time to pray for that person. Pray for the one over you. Pray that they're successful. Pray that they're going to be blessed, because they're going to bless you. I'll tell you, we came to church this morning. I prayed for a faith center. I pray revival takes place in that place. I pray people get saved, you know. And God works in that church, and churches all over this city. And we can't badmouth the things of God in someplace else and expect God to bless us where we're at, you see. And that's the way it is. We ought to be praying for every one of these people. You hear a bad thing about some preacher, pray for him. We don't know if it's true or not. We don't. And bad things about some church, pray that God's going to move in there and do a work. Do I hear an amen? You see, don't let pride get in the way. There's practical things. We have our part, and God has his part. Now I'm going to give you some steps that Israel had to take. I'm just going to show you what they did in order to go into the promised land. God said, "I'm giving you this land, 300,000 square miles." They only took a tenth of it. But they had steps to do, and here's what they did. They sent spies into the land. They got every bit of information they could. We need to get every bit of information we can about God. I mean, you're not going to spend 24 hours a day in the Word, but the issue is you can listen to Christian teaching on the way to work, on the way back. You can listen to Christian teaching when you're getting ready to go to work in the morning. You can listen to Christian teaching while you're getting ready to go to bed at night. There's always times that you can put in there a tape or a CD or grab the Word of God. Have Bibles in your bathroom and have a Bible in your bedroom and have a Bible available and have a Bible all over your house. And so wherever you are, if you got 5 minutes, you can go to a scripture and take in the Word of God. It's taking in spiritual food. It's going to strengthen you. And you have to act like you love Jesus and you want to know him. He is to be the important thing in your life. All the rest of it will fall into place. They sent spies in to see what the land was like. Now, the second thing they did, they consecrated themselves. They totally surrendered to God. They surrendered to God. God, whatever takes place, hallelujah. I know you're with me. It's going to be okay. We're going to go in and do what you... We believe we can do what you said we can do. The third thing, their spiritual leaders led into battle. Somebody's got to be the spiritual leader of the family. Somebody has asked to promote the things of God. Somebody has to see that you get to church. Somebody has to see that you pray in certain times. And you have to help each other if you're married. And if you're not, then you need somebody else you can call up and talk to them about the Word of God. They kept listening to the Lord every step of the way, and they took it little by little. They took it little by little. They didn't try to take the whole thing at once. They took it little by little, and they began to take the land. Next, they acknowledged the leaders who God put over them, and they prayed for the leaders, and they followed those leaders, and they were successful in the battles that they were involved in. The Lord continued to give them direction on a daily basis, and they were listening. He gave them every detail of every battle on how they were to take a particular city. And they made a mistake, which I'll tell you about in just a minute. So they took time out to follow God's instructions. And here's another thing that was interesting. God said, I want you to do something before you go into the land. And he did a miracle. The Jordan River was at flood stage, and he parted that water. They went across that thing on dry land, and before they ever got in one battle and took one city, he said, I want you to do something. I want you to put a memorial here so you will remember the miracles of God. Are you listening? Don't ever forget the miracles of God. And don't ever hesitate to tell people the miracles that God did in your life. That's one way to witness. And don't hesitate to tell your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren the miracles that God did in your life. He said, put up a memorial. Put up stones here and remember what I've done for you. Before they ever took any land, he said, remember what I have done for you. Remember, I took you out of bondage and I've prepared you for the promised land. And don't ever forget the miracle working power of God. If he did it before, he can do it again. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Now, hearing the miracles of God, the enemy's heart melted. The enemies said, oh my goodness, we can't take these people. They're going to come in and take us over because they heard the miracles of God that God had done in their life. So we constantly tell the miracles. My brother-in-law got saved because I said, here's what God did in my life. He got saved, started preaching just because I talked about what God did in my life. He couldn't believe it. Well, I used to come visit him before. We didn't talk about God. But when I got saved, he couldn't shut me up. And he knew something was going on. He said, what about this change in your life? And what's happening? And I said, this is what God's done. And this is what God's done. And this is what God's done. And he went to church the next day and he ran down the aisle when they gave an invitation and got saved. Are you listening to me? You talk about the things of God. You talk about the Word of God. You speak it out of your mouth. God wants me to take this land. God wants me to do this. God wants me to do that. Now, there was even a time an angel showed up. It was the angel of the Lord. It was probably Christ. He appeared as an angel in the Old Testament many times. And even he appeared in the New Testament, but not as an angel. He appeared as a man. But the issue is, sometimes God makes appearances through people and through other things. Sometimes God speaks in dreams. Sometimes God speaks while you're asleep. Sometimes God gives you a vision when you're awake. You have to be tuned in to the Lord and realize what's going on. They took Jericho. They did it. God told them to do it in a certain way. It was really strange. God said, I want you to go to Jericho. And he said, for 6 days, I want you to walk around that city, the whole army. Just walk around the gates of the city. Just walk around. And I don't want you to say one word. That'd be a challenge right there. Because they could have been out here and say, you know, this is the dumbest thing we've ever done. God has got us out here in this heat, and we're walking around this city like a bunch of fools, and blah, blah, blah. And guess what? They'd have never taken the city. But they didn't say a word. He said, don't say a word. And then the seventh day, he says, I want you to go down around it seven times, and then I want you to blow the trumpet, and the walls are going to come down. And they did, flat, down on the ground. They went in and took the city. So they were feeling pretty good about themselves. And they said, boy, look what we did. There was a little city up there called Ai. There'd been a lot of prayer there for Jericho. But they said, that's just a little city. We'll send a few troops up there. It'll take it, no problem. We won't even bother God with it. They went up there, and that little city ran them all over the countryside, and some of them died. Because that's what, they didn't consult God. They didn't pray to the Lord. They didn't ask instructions how to take this little city. And that's why I'm saying you have to pray about the little things as well as the big things. You have to pray about everything, and the little things can trip you up if you don't pray for those little things. Get instruction from God. And I'm almost through. Now, it says, God gave them detailed instructions of how to defeat every single enemy. So if you have a problem in your life, you ask God for the details on how to win that battle. Whatever it is, it may be somebody, you upset somebody, or they upset you, or they're mad at you, or something happened on the job. You pray for every single thing and every person involved. And ask God for instruction, because you will get it. It might be the next day you're getting ready to go to work, and all of a sudden these thoughts come to your mind. You say, whoa, where did those come from? And it's God. It's God, you see. And so God's voice led them to the victory. They were obedient. They did what God said. They took the promised land. So you ask God to speak to you. You talk to God about everything. And he said, when you at Jericho, walk around seven times and blow the shofar is really what it was. And when they blew that thing, the walls came down. What would have happened if they hadn't blown the shofar? Huh? Nothing. Nothing. That's how important it is to listen to God and be obedient to God in every little thing. That has been the most important work we do. Talk to God about everything. I don't care what it is. Maybe one of your children got upset with somebody at school. You get with them, pray for them, pray for the other person, pray for them. Do whatever action needs to be necessary. Maybe you need to go to school and talk to the teacher, the principal. But whatever it is, get instruction from God. We're Christians. Lost people don't do that. We're different. Because God has called us. He's done his work. We are to do ours. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Every one of us has a promised land. Every one of us has a spiritual battles to take care of. And when we fail, sometimes it's harder after that. But that's because God wants us to pray more and look more to him. That's what it's all about, and it's okay to be harder after that. It's even okay to fail, but it's not okay to keep failing. That's the issue. Practical things in the Word of God. How to take the promised land. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You know what the word righteousness means? Be in right standing with God 24 hours a day. That's a full-time job right there. And you have to pray about everyone. You have to be right with God. You do something you know that God wouldn't like, you take care of it right then. You confess that sin. You ask God to help you. You get rid of it. And you want to be right with God 24 hours a day. If seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things will be added unto you. That's it. There isn't any other way. There's only one way. So it's work. It's work. It can get into where you're so used to doing it, it just comes naturally. That's the idea. That's the idea. You pray about every single thing. Uncle Harry calls up and so-and-so's got some problem. Okay, Uncle Harry, let's pray right now. Let's see what God wants to do with this thing. You see. You go to the hospital and somebody's sick. What in the world's use to going if you're not going to pray? Might as well stay home. You see. Let's stand before the Lord.